Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
It's just over a year since legislation allowing people to pursue civil restraining orders in Ireland was introduced. The legislation sought to address a gap in the law to help people restrain offending behaviour or conduct which is socially disruptive and unacceptable. Our reporter, Maura Fay, has spent a day in court observing these cases and joins me in studio now. Maura, first off, can we just begin with a little bit of an explainer on the background legislation, please?
So a civil restraining order, also known as Section 28 order, directs a person to stop engaging in certain behaviours against another person, such as stalking and harassment. Previous to this, the only instrument that offered a similar level of protection was a safety order, something that you got through the family courts. But you could only seek a safety order against someone you had an intimate relationship. It was really for domestic violence cases. But say if you were being stalked and harassed by a neighbour or someone you met briefly on a dating app or someone you didn't know at all, really, there really wasn't much you could do other than making a complaint to the Gardaí and trying to pursue criminal action.
You went to court then this week. What did you see?
So I went along to court on Tuesday. Judge Shalom Binchy was presiding and she had four restraining order cases to deal with. Interestingly, judges don't wear robes and wigs when hearing restraining order cases. I think it's to reduce the formality of the situation.
So the first case, what did that involve?
This was an incredibly sad case, Philip, of a young woman seeking a restraining order against her father. She had sought a safety order against him in the family courts, but was told because that she was over 18 and didn't live with her father, she wasn't eligible for one. So she instead needed to go over to the district court and apply for a restraining order. The young woman represented herself and her father was represented by a solicitor.
And why did she say that she feels she needed a restraining order?
So she began her evidence by saying she had a very distressing upbringing because her father was an alcoholic. Her family had gotten a barring order against him and he'd left the family home. The young woman was extremely emotional during her evidence. She detailed two incidents that occurred this year. She said in July she was coming home with a friend. She said she was about to pull onto her drive. She noticed her father was in the car outside the home. When he passed her, the wing mirrors clipped, scraping her mirror. She had a video of this incident occurring and this was shown to the court. She said that her father chooses to attend a support group near her house as an intimidation tactic. She said that her father had been present outside the family home 7 or 8 times in the past year, but she didn't have any exact dates as to when this had occurred. She then discussed an incident that occurred in February of this year. She said she was out driving with her friends in a car. She said the car ahead of her had no brake lights, so she flashed them. She said the driver of the car then got out of his car and approached her window, and it was at this point she realised it was her father. She claimed he had said, "What the F are you flashing your lights at? You watch." She said her father then walked off when he realised he was being videoed by one of her friends. She was asked by the judge what she wanted. She said, "I just want this to end. I just want no contact from him." The young woman was then cross-examined by her father's solicitor.
And how did that go?
It was a very fractious cross-examination, lasting just under an hour. Several times Judge Binchy had to interrupt and give directions, such as telling the young woman to direct her answers to her, the judge, not the solicitor, tell both the solicitor and the young woman not to raise their voices and talk over each other. The solicitor started by raising divorce proceedings between the young woman's parents and an order from the circuit court that the family home be sold. He suggested that it was in this context which issues with her father had arisen. She replied that she didn't know the ins and outs of the divorce proceedings, but she was aware that the house may have to be sold. The solicitor put it to the young woman that the video of the February incident just showed her father stating, "What are you flashing at?" She said her friend had only began filming midway through the incident and had not captured the first part of the encounter. The solicitor also questioned why she had no friends in court to act as witnesses, given that she had friends at both the February and July incidents. She said, "We all have jobs. I don't want to hinder their careers."
Did her father give evidence then?
He did. He admitted he was an alcoholic, that he had been attending support groups at a location in proximity to the family home for a long number of years. In relation to the July incident, he said he'd been visiting a person living nearby. He said that he and his daughter's car mirrors had brushed, but he'd never parked outside the family home since he had left it. In relation to the February incident, he said that all he had said to his daughter is, "What are you flashing your lights at?" And he told the judge, as far as he was aware, the brake lights were working and his car was NCT'd.
She was representing herself. Did she cross-examine her father?
Not directly. So Judge Binchy asked her what questions she wanted to ask, and the judge then asked the man the questions. She asked, was there an alternative entrance that the man could use to attend his support group meetings? The man said there wasn't. And when the young woman outlined the details of another entrance, the man said that this entrance was not open in the evenings. He was on the stand for around 10 minutes.
OK, so what did the judge decide at the end of all of this?
She said it was a very sad case to see arising between a father and daughter, but these situations do arise. She said clearly there was a long history of acrimony and numerous unresolved issues. She said that coming to the court to give evidence had been very distressing for the young woman. However, given the evidence, she was not satisfied that the threshold had been met and refused the restraining order, stating that she hoped that the parties could find peace in the future.
Okay, so that's interesting. In that case then, what happens about costs? Did she have to pay her father's legal costs after losing the case?
So after speaking to his client, the man's solicitor said, my client's position is that there will be no order for costs subject to his daughter not appealing the case. The young woman was amenable to this once she clarified with the judge that it would not stop her taking a fresh application in the future should further incidents arise. The young woman said, I hope with this case he's going to leave me alone. I won't appeal this exact one.
Okay, sad, sad case. What about the other cases that you heard?
So the next two cases didn't proceed on that day. That's because details of the complaint hadn't been supplied to the people who the restraining orders were being taken against. They'd just gotten the summons. So the cases were put back to January.
And there was a fourth case, you said?
There was, yes. This was a case involving neighbours. A husband and wife were seeking a restraining order against another man living opposite them. Initially, the case began with the couple's barrister offering not to proceed if the man agreed to a 12-month undertaking not to harass them. The man's solicitor discussed this with him, but he didn't wish to consent to any undertaking or any order. The judge asked if both parties understood the potential risks regarding legal costs and that an order of up to 5 years could be granted. Both parties confirmed that they did and the case proceeded. So the man took the stand and confirmed his place of residence, and he told the court about a series of events that had occurred since beginning in May of this year.
And so what did he say had happened?
The man said that he and his wife were returning to their estate after a walk when their neighbour was staring at them. They asked him, are you okay? And the neighbour replied, did you tell her what you did to me? And added, this is not going to end well for you. The man said he was stunned and found the comments intimidating. He described a later incident where he was driving into his estate with his daughter, and he said the neighbour shouted a profanity at him. In August, while he was helping someone, the man said his neighbour shouted at him, another productive day, is it? I'll wipe that smirk off your face soon. The final incident occurred when he and his wife were out walking. The neighbour said, again, another productive day, and then launched into a string of insults, which we can't say on the radio, and saying, they know where you live, you're going to reap the consequences of this. The man produced video evidence to the court of the neighbour saying, I'll wipe that smirk off your face soon. And the neighbour accepted that he had said this.
So what happened next?
The man was cross-examined by the neighbour's solicitor. The solicitor suggested that although he had reported the incidents to the Gardaí, they had never contacted the neighbour about them. She also pointed out that the man had recently installed CCTV cameras at his house, and that whenever the neighbour left his home, it was captured on camera, potentially invading his privacy. The solicitor emphasised that there were two sides to this story. The man's wife also gave evidence regarding the same incidents her husband had described. The neighbour referred to previous occasions when he had been taken in groceries from the back of his car, and he felt that the man had driven aggressively towards him. He stated that he believed that he was being recorded by his neighbours on a frequent basis. He told the court that he'd no previous convictions, that he'd never been in any investigation into his conduct, and that he never did anything for the sake of it. He claimed the couple were recording him, speaking to other neighbours about him. He denied ever saying, this is not going to end well for you, or they know where you live. He also said that he felt the man and his wife were constantly smirking at him, and he wanted them to stop recording him and laughing at him.
Okay, difficult one. What did the judge decide at the end of the day?
So the judge said she believed the neighbour had used threatening language towards the couple, including the phrases that I mentioned there. I'll wipe that smirk off your face. They know where you live, and this is not going to end well for you. She granted a 1 year restraining order prohibiting the neighbour from using or threatening violence against or placing in fear the couple in fear. She also ordered that the neighbour pay legal costs of €1,000 plus VAT and stamp duty. And she said that she hoped the parties could find a peaceful way to live in the vicinity of each other.
Maura, thank you very much. That's a very interesting snapshot of what's going on in the courts with those restraining orders, what is possible and what kinds of decisions are being made. Coming up next, why energy bills are rising while wholesale prices have dropped, and are there still savings to be made by switching?
Today on RTE Radio 1.